Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. No te despegues de nuestra programación. Sigue con Encuentro Radio. Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
Welcome to Open Space Conversations. This radio program is brought to you by Global Mission Fellows,
a community dedicated to amplifying the voices and stories of diverse communities around the world.
We will be diving into important social justice issues of our time, exploring the ways that they intersect with beliefs, science, technology, and the environment.
Aiming to open spaces to have conversations about critical issues that are shaping our world today and working toward solutions to create a more equitable and just world for all.
From climate change, education, gender justice, health, and food security, in this space, you're welcome. In this conversation, your voice is heard.
Tune in to our special episodes Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and through podcast version of CIPOC and Encuentro Radio.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone in the world, wherever you are, what time it is. Welcome to Open Space Conversations. My name is Michelle. I am a GMA from the 2023 to 2025 cohort serving in Bogota, Colombia. And if you have been listening to our program for a very long time, you may be wondering, what is this new voice? It is my first time hosting, and I'm excited to have you all. And I'm also here with my friends from all over the world, and I'm going to give them time to introduce themselves, starting with Shaynon.
All right. Hello, everyone. I am Shaynon Bo. I'm from Cambodia, and I'm currently serving in the Philippines with the Board of Women, the Board of Women's Work at the United Methodist Church headquarters, and I'm a Global Mission Fellow in batch 2022 to 2024. Thank you.
Thank you, Shaynon. Now we're going to go to Stephen.
Thank you. Thank you for the time and opportunity. I am Stephen Chingadza from Malawi. I'm here serving in Liberia. I'm serving at Bishop Judith Craig Children's Village. I'm in 2022-2024 GMF cohort. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Tapiwa?
Hello, everyone. My name is Tapiwa Prosper Chimbadzwa. I'm from Zimbabwe, and I'm serving Sierra Leone Village to Village Federation as an environmental education advocate, and I'm from the 2023 to 2025 cohort.
Thank you. Now to our last panelist, Tino.
Thank you so much, Michelle. My name is Tino. I'm from Zimbabwe, and I'm currently serving in Northern Ireland. I'm part of the 2023 to 2025 GMF cohort. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So today we're going to be talking about food insecurity, its impacts, and we'd like to emphasize and raise awareness on how we can help advocate against this issue. But before that, I'll have a quick disclaimer. The views and opinions of the host and guest do not reflect the views of the opinions of any organization, especially Global Ministries or Global Mission Fellows. Also, we're not professionals in the topic, but for this episode, we'll share based on our research and personal experiences Also, this topic may be complex and may trigger some people, so please also be aware of that. If you're uncomfortable or having a hard time, feel free to disconnect. On the other hand, we would also like to hear from you, so share your stories, your comments, and your questions, or whatever you want to say on our Facebook page or Facebook Live. You can participate by sending a message or questions to the panelists or by leaving comments on Facebook Live, which can be found at Open Space Conversations GMF 2022-2024. Again, that is Open Space Conversations GMF 2022-2024. Or you can privately message someone on the panel today. Just a reminder, this is a space for everyone to feel heard, included, and so be mindful of your words. With that being said, now we'll move to Shainan, who will tell us more about food insecurity and introduce us to the topic of the day.
All right, thank you so much, Michelle. So, food insecurity is a situation in which someone cannot reliably acquire the amount of food they need to meet caloric and nutritional requirements. Food insecurity can vary in severity from minor nutritional deficiency to receive barely any caloric intake at all. Through the USDA defines food insecurity as a lack of consistent and equitable access to healthy, safe, and affordable food that promote optimal health and well-being. And in that decrease, access to healthy food results in long and short-term health and nutritional hardship and negatively affects one's overall quality of life. The United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, divides food insecurity into following two categories. So, first is low food security. Households or individuals with low food security report that they consume lower quality foods, less variety of foods, and have a generally less desirable diet. Although they don't necessarily consume less food overall. And we go to number two, very low food security. Households with very low food security report that their eating patterns and food intake has been reduced or otherwise interrupted. These are people and families who may take action such as foregoing meals to stretch their food over a longer period of time. The world's population is growing. Today, at the global level, agriculture is currently producing one-third more calories than necessary to feed all the people in the world. That means, in principle, there is enough food for everybody. Nevertheless, one person in nine goes to bed with hungry. Well, there are still 800 million people going hungry. So, essentially, food insecurity occurs when a person or group of people cannot access or afford enough quality food. That means that food insecurity is not hunger, although hunger may be a system of food insecurity. So all this that I describe is about food security. So what causes food insecurity? So we will learn and through our research a leading cause of food insecurity is poverty, environmental degradation, and climate change, conflicts, and politics. So now we go to poverty. In almost every place in the world, some form of money or trade is required to get the food one needs. Being impoverished can mean you have little money to spare for food. So poverty can mean a person or community is unable to buy all the food they need at all, or not enough variety to provide nutritional needs. Even if someone can pay for all the food they need now, if the price rise, they might find themselves suddenly unable to pay for the same amount of food. In this sense, a person is also food insecure in meeting their nutritional need or not. Number two, like environmental degradation and climate change. Environmental demand, such as desertification, water contamination, and air pollution may reduce so much food a region can produce. Human activities that harm the environment disrupt the natural condition that make agriculture productive. This then leads to less food supply for the local population, exacerbating food insecurity. One more, climate change is another process causing increased stress on our food supply also. So rising temperatures are increasing the likelihood of extreme events like floods or storms, all of which devastate agriculture production. So heat itself is damaging to plants, and some regions may no longer be able to grow some stable crops they need to feed the population. The third is conflict. Human activities led to the devastation caused by conflict, but even diplomatic conflicts and trade wars can lead to mass food insecurity. In terms of conflict, people unroot from their land trying to flee, fighting can end up in food insecure situation, away from being able to tend to their lands and work, and usually relying on food from an organization. So I said the food is sometimes used as a weapon itself, with varying parties purposefully attacking food supplies for trying to starve out civilians. That was actually when food engage in catching barriers to trade between one another, which can try up the price of everything, including food. Trade wars are especially harmful if a country already relies on importing food to meet in it. So the last one is, in some circumstances, I said the food is used as a political tool or for personal gain. Governments can choose to provide food in exchange for political support or to punish population by restricting food access. So then systems of government, particularly ones with strong central control over agriculture production, lend themselves to inefficiency and corruption, which create food insecurity. So all these are the main causes of food insecurity in general. But in our own country, maybe they are a little bit different. So that's all. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Shainon, for that well-detailed introduction to a topic and the causes of food insecurity. And now, We've had a new friend who's just joined us. Sim, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello. My name is Sim Siamonga, a former Global Mission Fellow who served in the 2021-2023 cohort. I served in the international cohort in Kenya. It is really an interesting topic today that as I'm responding to this, I am talking from Zambia, the southern part of Africa.
Thank you. This issue
is really issue that needs much attention, especially at a time such as this. I believe as we go on, I'll be able to have something like to share to add on to the topic. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. It is always amazing having alumni of the program with us on Open Space Conversations. And now we're going to move on to Stephen, who's going to tell us about the effects of food insecurity and a little bit about climate change and how it is affecting food insecurity.
All right. Thank you for this time. Like I said, I'm Stephen from Malawi. I'm serving here in Liberia. So I'll talk about the effects and impacts of food insecurity. So like Mr. Tom has shared, food insecurity is somehow defined as the lack of reliable access to sufficient quantities of affordable and nutritious food. So let me quickly go through the effects and impacts. So the impacts could be grouped in several categories. So right now, let me talk about health effects. You know, when you lack food, good quality and food that is needed by our bodies, we may be affected in the health wise. So let me talk about health effects. So number one, lack of food or lack of good and quality enough food could lead to malnutrition. So food insecurity often leads to inadequate nutrition, resulting in malnutrition, micronutrient deficiencies, and stunted growth, particularly among children and pregnant women. So another challenge could be chronic diseases. Individuals experiencing food insecurity are at higher risk of developing chronic health conditions such as obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular diseases due to poor dietary quality and irregular meal patterns. Another challenge could be mental health. So food insecurity is associated with increased stress, anxiety, depression. So all these contribute to mental health disorders and reduced overall well-being among affected individuals. So let's get to economic effects. So we could experience, or one could experience, lost productivity. So food insecurity undermines workforce productivity, as individuals experiencing hunger are more likely to miss work days, have lower job performance, and face challenges in pursuing educational and employment opportunities. So another challenge could be health care costs. Food insecurity places a significant burden on health care systems, with increased health care costs attributed to the treatment of diet-related illnesses and associated health complications. So let's get back to another category of the effects, which is social effects. So this could be food-related stress. So food insecurity creates stress and uncertainty within households, leading to familial tensions, relationship strain, and increased risk of domestic violence. You know, when there's no food or there's no enough food at a place, people start scrambling, you know, fighting over the limited food that is available. So that explains. And another one could be educational disparities. Children from food insecure households are more likely to experience educational setbacks, including lower academic achievement, decreased school attendance, and higher dropout rates, perpetuating intergenerational poverty. So this, I think, is true when we consider each one of us, when we have low glucose levels in our bodies, we tend to maybe to say, I will not attend this, I will not go to this because I'm hungry, I will not go to school. So that point explains in that regard. So let me get to environmental effects of food insecurity. So unsustainable agricultural practices. Food insecurity can drive unsustainable agricultural practices such as overexploitation of natural resources, deforestation, and reliance on chemical inputs, exacerbating environmental degradation and climate change. So the other challenge under the environmental effects is loss of biodiversity. Intensive agricultural practices associated with food insecurity often lead to the loss of biodiversity, habitat destruction, and genetic erosion, threatening the resilience of ecosystems and agricultural diversity. Another one could be water scarcity. Food production in water-stressed regions exacerbates or worsens water scarcity. Competition for resources and conflicts over water allocation, highlighting the interconnectedness of food insecurity and environmental sustainability. So all these environmental effects of food insecurity are explaining the effects that happen to the environment, on the environment, when there's not much food available for people in a community or a society or in the country at large. So people will now just start, you know, practicing unsustainable practices because they are looking for food, they want to do this and that. So that's the effects on the environment. So let me get to now the impact of climate change on food security. So the impacts of climate change on food security are also can also be grouped in categories. So for example, the impact could one be maybe in on crop and livestock production. So obviously there's going to be yield reductions. Whatever people will start getting will be low in quantity, because you know climate change may mean maybe low or may cause low rainfall that a place or a country or a community receives. So obviously, because most of the times, for example, where I come from in Africa, Malawi, we normally depend on rains for our agriculture produce. So that's the point there, that there will be a reduction in yield. So another one would be crop failures. So climate change could cause, you know, hot conditions Like right now, in where I come from, in southern part of Africa, and somewhere there, we have experienced so far earlier this year El Nino. You know, these are extreme weather conditions. So this could cause crop failure. Crops may fail to perform and yield the way they have been doing over the years. So crop failure could also be one of the impacts. Livelihood disruption. So smallholder farmers and rural communities who rely heavily on rain-fed agriculture and traditional farming practices are particularly vulnerable to climate-related shocks. So this is what I've explained also a few seconds ago. Yeah, so for now, let me stop there. Thank you for the time.
Thank you so much, Stephen. That was a lot of important information. And as an African myself, I could relate to parts of it, especially about water. And now we're going to go to a song break. But before we go, we have some shout-outs. Modester, watching from Laos. Vani said, I'm ready to hear from all of you today. Christine, watching from Jeju. Tapiwa, watching from Malawi. Hosea, joining from Liberia. And now we're going to go to a short song break, and we'll be right back with you. Thank you.
It's feeding time in the jungle, jungle. The cold streets, yeah, they come alive. Ain't it time to be humble, humble? Cause only the strong survive. I'm starting just to feel inspired.
Everyone for being with us and listening to us today. Now we're going to go to Tapiwa, who's going to tell us about the strategies that we can use to address this problem now that we have identified that this is a big problem when it comes to food insecurity.
All right. Thank you very much, and I'm very much honored for this opportunity, and I'm quite happy that my colleagues that have spoken before me have actually shared enough information about what is food insecurity, and my role now is just to share some of the possible solutions that we can take to fight food security. So I'm going to just talk about these in different categories, that's focusing on production, and also then go on the key actions that we can do at a local level and at an individual level. So to speak of production, since
Stephen mentioned the issue of how climate change, especially in the global south, is causing a drastic change in terms of how food production is being done. I would suggest first that there is need for us to start implementing, investing in improving the infrastructure for local farmers and investing more in agriculture, and also bring about new practices such as climate smart agricultural practices that lowers the dependence on rain, and also try to implement management practices that can now assist us in terms of boosting the production, and also encourage the improvement of infrastructure for food distribution. This means developing better transportation networks, better storage facilities, and market access. This now can help reduce food waste and ensure that the food reaches those in need, because I think one of the major key challenges that we are faced today is that there's so much food waste and there's so much post-harvest loss to an extent that we are losing more food to waste other than reaching the people that are in need. So there is need for that to be implemented. And then from production now, we would then move to the individual value and communities, where I would suggest implementation of social safety nets. This means that there is need to establish food assistance programs that can help those who are underprivileged, who are greatly in need, and some programs like what Steve was mentioning, that some young people will be disadvantaged when it comes to education because they won't be able to attend school due to hunger. So would suggest that there may be school feeding programs that can actually provide immediate relief to vulnerable populations. This will greatly have a great impact, and I've seen this being implemented in Zimbabwe in a community that I used to work with in Nyami Nyami, where students were being fed in the morning and then get a lunch in the afternoon. So basically this will help boost even their morale at school and also their concentration is caused by food insecurity. And also there is need for us to invest in the demographic that is mostly involved in food production and, for lack of a better term, let's say cooking, since women, according to the social values and norms, especially in Africa, they are the ones responsible for the kitchen. So there is need for us to invest in educating women about nutrition, about food processing and food making, as well as involving them in decision-making processes, so that our strategies and key actions can be greatly informed and we can be able to respond to this. And then lastly, I would speak about how now the communities can also be involved as a whole group, despite working from a personal perspective. I think what I've seen working, establishment of community gardens, I've seen it as a working strategy in terms of trying to address issues around nutrition, because now you can teach communities to work together, bring their resources together, get a garden that will produce different variety of foods, which can now speak to different nutritions, and also that can also help them in different areas. And also there is need for policy advocacy in terms of trying to push for change in policies which addresses issues around agriculture and food production, so that they may be the local communities will be empowered. So basically that's what I had for you today in terms of the key strategies that we can take. I know it's not that exhaustive, but I really understand and believe that this will take us further, and also there is need for us to practice sustainable consumption, that even if you have enough food in your house, you should also practice sustainable consumption, consume enough and reduce the amount of food waste that goes to the dump site, because we are also aiding to food insecurity. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Tapiwa. That was very interesting. Thank you so much for that vast explanation about how the strategies that we can use to combat this problem. And now we're going to move to Tino, who's going to tell us about how can we measure food insecurity now that we know what it is, and also what NGOs and humanitarians can do in this, in addressing this problem.
Thank you so much, Michelle. From what my colleagues have shared, we have managed to hear that food security is a critical issue that is affecting billions of people worldwide. And as a result, today I'll explore some of the major measures that can be taken. I'm going to explore how we can measure food insecurity. Food security can be measured both using qualitative and quantitative methods, and some of the methods that can be used to measure food insecurity is the Food Insecurity Experience Scale, FIES. The Food and Agricultural Organization, FAO of the United Nations, used this method as a global reference scale to measure food insecurity. The scale considers both quantity, that is having enough food, and quality and diversity of food. So here's how it works. Data is collected at the household level using a food security questionnaire. The survey may include various questions that capture conditions typically experienced by someone with food insecurity. These questions range from worrying about having food to actually going a whole day without any food. Thus, this issue of food security is categorized into mild, moderate, severe levels based on the response of the questionnaire. This is one method which can be used to measure food insecurity. Then there is also household food security assessments, where questions explore behaviors and experiences that characterize householders struggling to meet their food needs. Some of these include standardized and often questionnaires to access about how they access food availability and also utilization, like what Tapua was saying. There can also be some food consumption surveys that can be used also to measure food insecurity. Then there is individual dietary survey methods that can also be used. So basically, some of the main ways you can measure food insecurity are normally the surveys, so that data can be captured to come up with a conclusive at the end, so that people can be able to know if people are food secure or not. Then I'm going to move to the roles of NGOs in helping communities facing food insecurity. There's food aid distribution, that is providing direct food assistance to the affected communities, and also this can include nutritious programs, running in nutritious programs which are aimed at improving the nutrition status of vulnerable communities, that is supplementary feeding, nutrition education, micronutrient supplement to prevent malnutrition. Then also capacity building, that is strengthening the capacity of local communities and institutions to address food insecurity in the long term. This may involve trainings, farmers being trained in sustainable agricultural practices, provision of education and food preservations, and establishment of community gardens. This is in support of what Tapio was also saying. Then there can be also livelihood support by implementing programs that help communities to become more self-reliant, and also policy formulation that can address the root causes of food insecurities. Yeah, thank you. This is what I had.
Thank you so much, Tino, for sharing with us all that information about how we can measure food insecurity and what NGOs and other organizations are doing to help people with this problem. Now we're going to go to another ad break, and then we'll be right back with you. Before that, we have a shout-out from Paula, who's watching from Vietnam. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
About the generations, and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children, so that they know it's a better world for them, and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. Brighter than tomorrow, and if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for the living. Make a little space, make a better place, heal the world.
Shout out from Jade, watching from Ireland. Thank you for watching. Now we're gonna leave this time to Sims for him to share with us what he has for today's program in light of food insecurity.
All right, thank you very much for this opportunity once again to be in this platform to share. Like I introduced myself, I'm from Zambia, neighboring Stephen, and Tinodwanashe, we're also neighboring. So I'm going to look at the consequences of rising food prices for farmers and producers, as well as the link between high food prices and poverty. So to begin, indeed, when you begin to realize, to look around and see what is happening, you will see how food prices have been rising, and you also begin to see the consequences that are arising from that. It is not only the consumers, but the producers as well, they have been affected badly. For example, when you are looking at the producers, they depend much from the prices. When the prices of food are low, even the inputs, we find that they are low. So there is high connection between the prices of commodities as well as the prices of the inputs. Now the inputs, these are farming equipments, farming necessities that are needed for a farmer to begin the process of producing food. Now, those prices of the things are usually linked to what is prevailing on the ground. When the prices of things are high, you find that the inputs, for example, the machines that are used, the tractors, the seed, the pesticides, herbicides, all those chemicals that are used in farming, the prices will be high. Now, when the prices of such things for inputs are high, what happened to the farmer? The farmer would also desire to get profit. They are going to also increase the price of food. And that begins to be like a chain, that this chain affects the other. And the process continues. Now, I just want to give an example of here in Zambia. I can say this year we have faced the most devastating situation when it comes to the drought. Since independence, I can say we have never experienced this kind, that is from 1964. The major provinces that produce food, such as Southern Province of Zambia, Eastern Province, Central, these have been hit badly. Unfortunately, only places that are closer to the equator, they have at least rainfall that can produce something. But now, that's the area where we do not have good land that produce good crops. So when we are talking about food insecurity, someone out there who is listening, it might be something like a new thing. Now, let's look at low profit. The farmer has a fear of making a low profit when the food prices are high. Despite soaring food prices, farmers' profit remain meager. Why? Because of the area point that I alluded to. I talked about having the inputs sold at higher prices. And these things, if not looked at, they get connected from the very first point where climate change is affecting things. Those who have been taking keen interest in following what is prevailing right now, there is a high demand for food. Each country right now is talking about food security. Our president yesterday was addressing the same issue, the need for food security, which has become like a national matter. Now, if Zambia is faced this matter, it means the neighbors are also faced the same. If the neighbors are faced the same, their neighbors are also faced with the same. And the entire world will be shaken. Even those countries where the food you know, is in high production, they'll be first because where there is too much demand, people would want to gain. What do? They export. That affects even that country because as they export in their country, they are leaving the food prices in a situation whereby citizens begin to complain. And so also the need from those countries arise. Also the increase in concentration of power. Now, if you look at the government systems that we are having, it is what is used also in the market systems. There are policies that have been put to regulate food, and those have actually affected highly. We've got countries that are not having good climate to produce food, that have been depending on other countries, such as my country. They had actually been good in terms of producing the most needed crop here, which is maize or corn. Now, with this climate change, it means there's no water. Like a farmer failing to get actually one cob of maize from the field the entire rainy season. This is because of the same reason Joanashe talked about, that people depend highly on the rainfall. And with this kind of climate change, what happens? There's no rain. And so there's need for this improved technology where farmers can begin to produce crops even in the seasons that were not meant to produce food. The other point is lack of government support. When government is devastated with so much need, such as health areas, food becomes the priority. Once the government lacks much support, what happens? It means the situation becomes actually worse. Without adequate policies and assistance, farmers struggle to thrive despite the surge in food prices. This is a serious issue that has affected farmers to actually realize, because the government is unable to meet other needs. Therefore, they cannot facilitate such as farming inputs. As I end, let me just bring the link between high food prices and poverty. Now, as we all know, food is a basic need. It's a basic need. What happens to the poverty-stricken people? It means they lose even the little they have. I visited the village, those are remote areas. They have started exchanging the bag of maize or corn with the animals they have, such as goats, sheep, cattle, in order to have food. So it means these already poor people, now they are losing everything they have.
That is so true. That is so true.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Sure, thank you. It means actually they will lose even the little they have during the process in order to feed their families. And this is how much, even when the prices are high, the poor get it the worst. Just an example of what I've given. So many is happening. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Thank you, Tino. Thank you, Trey. Thank you, Tapiwa. Thank you, Steven. Thank you, Sims. And a special great thank you to Diego for helping us facilitate this. And so this was our episode. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening and tune in for our next episode. Thank you so much.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Open Space Conversations. This radio program is brought to you by Global Mission Fellows,
a community dedicated to amplifying the voices and stories of diverse communities around the world.
We will be diving into important social justice issues of our time, exploring the ways that they intersect with beliefs, science, technology, and the environment.
Aiming to open spaces to have conversations about critical issues that are shaping our world today and working toward solutions to create a more equitable and just world for all.
From climate change, education, gender justice, health, and food security, in this space, you're welcome. In this conversation, your voice is heard.
Tune in to our special episodes Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and through podcast version of CIPOC and in Quinton Radio.